and welcome back to Unfinished Podcasts. Today, I'm going to let y'all know something from the bottom of my heart. All women are a gift from Allah to this world, but the Somali women stand on top as the greatest gift to this world. Today is International Women's Day, and here on Unfinished, we are paying homage to the powerful and dominant Somali queens. What makes Somali women so special? Join us and find out here on Unfinished. Fellow co-host, how do we feel about Somali women?
Well, I was raised by a Somali woman.
I got my name from a Somali woman and my chain from a Somali woman.
I don't wear chains, but okay.
Does it go like that? Does it go like that? Name from a Somali woman, got my chain. Okay, good, go.
We got ourselves a rapper.
Just amazing. I grew up in a house full of women, and I never understood how valuable women were until I looked back on my life and realized the most valuable advice I've gotten was from a woman, a Somali woman at that. So what about you, Smooth? How do you feel about Somali women?
Why are you guys not asking the woman first?
We're gonna get to you, buddy. All right. Me, how I feel about Somali women? Honestly, they are a gift. You know, they're God's gift to this earth. And in my family, I was raised by my mom and my aunt, so all women, and they're all powerful, dominant women. The greatest views on them, the greatest respect for them. Inshallah, may Allah reward them in this life and hereafter. My views on them is that they're great, and we're gonna pass it on to our lovely co-host Bella with two L's. But you know, today she's extra hyped. She's extra hyped, so we're gonna let her get her juice off. Let's go.
You know, I love me a loud, dominant woman. Okay, that knows what she wants and is not afraid to take leadership. And who is that?
You tell us, who's that?
Absolutely not you.
You have something to get off your chest. Get it off your chest.
My beautiful Nag Knowles, this episode is going to resonate with all of my ladies. And I hope that by the end of this discussion, you feel empowered more than you already are. Because, you know, Somali women have a gift that no man could conquer, especially the Somali men. I mean, I'm just joking. It's not about us against them today. It's just about speaking about our achievements.
Yeah, so today we're all on the same page, Bella?
Absolutely. I always on the same page with you guys. You guys are on the same page.
No, that's cap. I'm calling cap.
So it's two against one. That's already, you know, right? All right, let's go, Nomad.
Well, you guys ever taken Ilhan Omar?
Of course.
She's somebody that I'm very fascinated with because...
Would you like to meet her?
I would love to meet her.
She's, I should set that, definitely set that up. You don't meet.
She got connections.
You're a representative.
She got connections.
For life.
She's definitely somebody that I would love to meet because something that I laugh about all the time is Trump is somebody that's very hard-headed and in his own world. And she's the only person I've ever seen get in his head.
She attacks him in every moment. I love her. She doesn't let him sleep. She reads him every moment. She's always attacking. She chooses violence every day.
No, she does not choose violence. Somali people are not violent.
No.
Smooth, I don't know if you mind. I remember one day we were talking and you were telling me a story about your aunt where she taught you a life lesson about cards.
Cards, oh my God.
Tell us.
So let me tell you guys. So my aunt, you know, she passed away. She was the first hustler in the history of hustlers, first of all. Let me tell you guys that. Nobody hustled before her. I don't want to hear it. I don't care what you did in the streets. I don't care who you are. Nobody was a hustler. Like, what happened was, we were at the house. She said, hey, come here. Let's play some cards. She said, I'm going to teach you a game you might play. I said, okay, we played the game. You know, we're playing it for a little bit. We played it for like a day or two. We played it. I got good at this game. I'm like, oh, I got it. You know, it's a numbers game. I'm good with numbers. I'm good with math. You know, I'm getting the game. I'm a quick learner. She's telling me, ooh, you're so good at it. You know what I mean? Wait, Walosa. Yeah. She is getting into my head. She is gassing the life out of me.
Okay.
She's telling me, you're that nigga. Okay. You do this. And I'm saying, okay. That's me. So what happens now? A couple days later, me and her are chilling. We're in the fuddy. We're in the living room. Mm-hmm. And she goes, hey, let's play that card game, but let's play for some money. I said, okay, what's up? She said, okay, I give you $20 for lunch per week. Back then, that was a lot of money. Now, that's nothing.
That's
but,
beautiful.
You know what I mean? She's like, play for your 20. If you win, I'm gonna double up, give you that 40. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're blessed, you're living, you're good. I said, okay, obviously, I'm gonna do this. So, boom, we played a game. Before I could put down a card, she was done. Her cards were gone. She won the game. Mm-hmm. I looked at her and said, what's going on? She said, thanks for the money. This is my money. I said, what happened? How did I lose? Mm-hmm. I'm so good at this game.
Okay.
She said, listen, you think you're good at this game? You just got hustled. I said, there's no way. I went. She said, you have no lunch money this week. I went to my aunt, her sister.
Yeah.
I told her the story.
Okay.
She started laughing tears. Said, you idiot boy. I said, what happened?
Yeah.
She's like, do you know what she used to do back in Somalia?
Yeah.
I said, I have no idea what she used to do back in Somalia. Yeah. Obviously, I wasn't alive.
Yeah.
So tell me. She used to bring all the boys in the neighborhood.
Play cards?
Take all of our lunch money. She'll tell us, guys, don't worry. We're going to eat good today.
Okay.
She'll take our lunch money. She'd go play with all the boys in the neighborhood.
Okay.
She would clean the neighborhood, come home with hundreds of dollars. And they'd go shopping. They'd get food, everything. She was the biggest hustler in her neighborhood. She said, guess what? You just got hustled. And that was the first day I learned the lesson.
You're losing the game? That's why you should take your money. You're losing the game every time?
I lost my money in 5 seconds. The game started. I tried to put down the card. She said, boom, boom, boom. The game was over. I had no lunch money. And I learned a lesson. Don't ever judge a book by its cover.
She was hiding all her little tactics.
She taught me the game, but she taught me no tricks. And the trick was that she was great in the game.
Don't
she played
fooled,
me.
Yeah.
Don't ever play a player.
Yeah, don't
play
be fooled by a Somali woman.
And that was the first hustler I ever met.
Play yourself.
I played myself, but guess what? Nobody played me after that. Nobody in life played me.
Never. That's beautiful.
Oh, man.
You know what's funny about that story is the fact that she kept her cool the entire time, and that's all Somali women.
Like, at no point did she make it look like she was great at this game. She said, yeah, I just played this game for fun.
Yeah.
At no point did I know she was doing this back in Somalia, hustling.
Speaks to their
hustling intellect. Grown men. Like, my other aunt was crying real tears, like, you idiot. How did she get you like that? She's done this for years. And I said, you sisters are evil, man. You guys believe me.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you guys a story about my time in Ethiopia. In 2019, I spent 2 months in Ethiopia.
That's the part of the Somalia you went to that you're talking about?
We got ourselves a comedian.
Okay,
we got ourselves a comedian.
Very, very funny.
We got ourselves a comedian.
So the 2 months that I was there, I got to meet a lot of amazing people. Shoutouts to Hararis. They are by far one of the most kindest people I've ever encountered. And I met this girl who studied in Louisiana. Correct me if I'm wrong. And Louisiana is the South in the U.S. If you guys know anything about the South, you got to be able to basically be a handyman in the South because a lot of things go wrong in your house. And during her time there, she had a roommate that was a Somali girl. And the Somali girl was able to fix the house, being able to do all the little things that the average girl is not able to do. And this girl was fascinated by it. She comes from a wealthy family, and she was fascinated by the Somali girl being able to literally handle the whole house.
Hey.
Because a Somali woman knows that...
I'm not really that handy, though.
Not you. But a lot of women.
Yeah, I just want to add that. If it breaks, we're calling a mechanic.
This speaks to a Somali woman. Somali women are able to realize they're very intellectual, and they know that if they want something good, you gotta do it yourself. And that's the power of a Somali woman.
Somali women are also confident. There's actually a podcast of girls that are called Nagnol Radio. It's actually amazing. You can find them on Instagram. They're super dope, and they bring on a bunch of different girls, entrepreneurs, businesses. They actually had me on there too.
Woo!
Absolutely.
Okay, so what did you talk about?
I talked about, you know what I'm going to say, persevering through mm-hmm. my hardships, mm-hmm. being a Nagnol, mm-hmm. having to deal with, you know,
spit
Toronto man. Yeah, you know, it's hard in this life.
I don't know what that's all about.
You know, it's hard in this life.
I talked about a few different things in
my life and pertaining to my childhood and things that I want to do. That's when I had a YouTube channel, so I was pushing that agenda. But I think that a lot of the times people, they started doing the hashtag Nagnol thing just to show Somali women uniting and not being afraid to be leaders and like showing their success, especially on Twitter. I see a lot of girls using the Nagnol hashtag. And sometimes I feel like guys, they try to, okay, she's a Nagnol. Sometimes they think just being a Nagnol is like being over opinionated. And sometimes it can be shunned because a lot of these girls are so opinionated. And I think it throws a lot of people off. And I think they think that you could be a knock null, but your voice doesn't always have to be heard. It's just intimidation, right? Some men are intimidated, you know, like smooth right now.
Not at all. I'm here comfortable. I'm comfortable.
But I feel like as long as you have a knock null in your corner, you should be very, very, very happy because you have somebody that's going to literally be the backbone of your family.
You did speak about knock null, and an attribute of a knock null is resilience. I am no fool. Somali women are great. Can you tell me and Smooth and the viewers about your resilience that allowed you to overcome hardship, Bella?
Damn, just put me on the spot like that. Wow. I am the youngest of five girls, and so say my resilience was taught at an early age, because for those who know, my mom passed away when I was 2 years old. So I was raised by my single father and my mom's sister that lived very close by, that raised me until the age of 8. And then I lived with my siblings full time after the age of 9. I would say I seen resilience at a very, very young age, because obviously as a young girl, to know that your mother has passed away, I feel like it's a lot to cope with at a young age. It's something that you actually have to deal with for the rest of your life, because do you know how people say like a boy needs their father? I genuinely believe that a father could do so much for a girl, but you really do need a mother, especially to teach you how to be a woman. There's just so many things that a father could teach you, but I feel like my sisters, I owe it a lot to them growing up because they took their time with me. I know that a lot of people always ask me like, that's your sister, why do you need to ask permission from your sister? People don't know, I really fear my sister like they were my mothers. Like, people don't get that. Like, people really don't get that. Like, everybody would say, don't tell my mom. And I used to be like, don't tell my sisters. I literally was scared the shit out of them. It's because when you have older sisters that have to take a mother's role at a very young age, when my mom died, my sisters were already teens, right? They were like 15, 16. And all they had to take that role at a young age, they kind of ran with it for the rest of their life. They had this kind of notion that I'm the boss, like I'm the captain, and everything goes through me. And so they taught me resilience. I came to them for a lot of things. So even though I felt like I was missing a part of me growing up, faced my hardships with them and kind of learned through their mistakes. And till now, man, I still fear my sisters. I always tell people, don't tell my sister. I know it's weird, but you will face different calamities in life as a woman, but to be a Somali woman, life is not always going to be easy. Thanks. And just like our mothers and our sisters, they take a lot more on their plate than the average family member, I would say.
And the average woman too. I'll say in my life, things didn't start working for me and start clicking for me until I started listening to the women in my life. Somali women are very, very highly intellectual and resilient. They always find a way to make it happen. Somali women are kind and they are very, very powerful. But Smooth, let me ask you, what do you feel makes them so special in your personal opinion?
I feel like it's that drive to never quit.
Yeah.
With the Somali women and the Somali moms out there, no matter what's put in front of them, mm-hmm. no matter what challenge in front of them,
perseverance.
They attack it head on. Most of our parents came to this country not knowing the language, not having jobs, not having degrees, not having anything in this country, and they said, you know what? We're gonna make it work. We're gonna make it shake regardless. Like, we're gonna do some, and they made some of themselves. Yeah. Most of our parents, nobody could say their parents did nothing. Like, their parents hustled. Their parents made sure you were fresh. Your parents made sure you had a phone. Your parents made sure of everything. In my household, it was, I'm doing things, you guys better get your school done. As long as you guys are getting your school done, I'm gonna take care of the house. Clothes is taken care of. Your food is taken care of. Everything inside the household is taken care of. And outside of the household, if you're making trouble, your mom's there. Front line and center. Mm-hmm. Like saying, yo, what is he doing? She's on top of you. So she's taking care of you. She's taking care of the house. She's taking care of the siblings. She's taking care of the family. She's taking care of her siblings. And she's still trying to make everything shake while still putting a smile on her face. Really? Every day. Yeah. You know how hard that is? It's very hard.
Real life lions. Like, it's perseverance through trials and tribulations. I always say, like, we have minor wounds when it compares to our Somali mothers. A lot of them sacrificed their entire life coming to this country, war torn, not knowing the language. And a lot of them are able to become nurses, become healthcare workers, educators, and be in an atmosphere where they could thrive, you know? And it's like, we could say like, oh, life is against us. It's so hard. You know, there's not a lot of opportunities here, but they made opportunities for themselves.
You're right.
They humbled themselves a lot.
You're right. The most important person to me in my life is my mother. And she persevered to become a nurse. And this is a dream that she had from when she was a little girl. And I'm going to tell you guys a story about when she first decided to go to ESL. A lot of the Somali women use a career. It didn't make sense to them. So during the time my mom was going to ESL, there was this Palestinian lady that she was in class with, and the lady came to her and told her, hey, I'm Muslim. And my mom looked at her like she was crazy because she wasn't wearing a hijab.
Oh my God.
This is the early 90s, like 91, 92. And my mom looked at her crazy and she goes, how are you Muslim? You're not wearing a hijab. And the Palestinian lady told her that her husband didn't want her to wear a hijab because they didn't feel comfortable in Canada. And this speaks to the Somali women. When they first came to the Western world, they all were dripped out in jilbabs. Mm-hmm. They made it cool for every other woman that was Muslim to be comfortable with their religion. And that's the power of a Somali woman.
That's beautiful.
That's powerful.
That's actually very, very touching. I remember I had a friend tell me my mom, after 9/11, she was traveling with her mother at a very young age, and her mom was wearing a niqab at the airport. Yeah. And there was a person that's flying with her. She's saying, you're a lovely lady, but I fear for your safety, and you should probably take that off. And she was telling her that if you fear for my safety, I fear for your safety, because you feel like safety is in the hands of people.
You're right. And that's what makes Somali women, in my opinion, the most righteous of mankind. They wear the religion on their head, and they do it proudly, and they protect it. And that's the beauty of a Somali woman. So I'm going to talk to you guys about camels, because I love camels.
We know. Definitely. We've listened to like 900 episodes of camels.
There you go again. So with camels, if you understand camels, you will understand women. That is a saying in Somali. Okay? I'm going to tell you guys about two attributes of the camel that are also attributes of a woman.
Okay.
Okay.
When it comes to herding, all animals are herded from the front.
Okay.
Except for camels. You have to herd them from the back, because a camel does what they want when they want.
Okay, now I'm listening.
Yeah.
You got her full attention.
Right. Camels are followed.
Hi.
They're not led. Second.
Yeah, yeah.
A Talk camel.
That's my language.
You see?
No, I'm awake.
Pan balana. The second attribute is a camel is the most beautiful animal in the animal kingdom. How, Nomad? Well,
I don't believe that.
Well,
lions are prettier.
Well, camels have beauty pageants. I'm not joking.
I believe it.
Their pageants are beauty pageants?
No, they have beauty pageants in the Middle East for camels. The winner gets $1 million for the most beautiful camel. And this is an attribute of a camel. This is why women in today's world...
The longer the neck, the prettier?
No. This is why women in today's world, they have the bigger the eyelash, the more beautiful. It comes from the camel. The camels have the most beautiful eyelashes in the world. Wow. If you ever watch a camel walking, they have a majestic way they walk. If you ever get a chance, YouTube a camel. They walk
like a cat.
They walk like they shit don't stink.
They're looking in the sky when they're walking. This is my kind of move.
One attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I'm very fascinated with is the hikmah. Hikmah is wisdom. And when Allah created Eve, He gave Adam His greatest gift and greatest test. And with women, I see a lot of guys, and myself included when I was younger, that I thought women were crazy, and I misconstrued and misunderstood the hadith about a woman is made from the rib, crooked rib, where I misunderstood it and thought of it as wrong. They were created in an error. But as I grew and my knowledge grew, I started to look at women differently and started to understand that it's not that they're made wrong, it's that they should be left alone, and you should go with it and work around a woman, not try to change a woman, because your words can actually break a woman if you apply too much pressure. And that's something that I would love to teach younger guys about. So with the Somali young men, I think a better understanding, if you understand camels, you understand women. And if you get an opportunity as a young man to research camels, you will understand how women are, and you will understand how to work around them.
So let me say something on the point of where you're speaking about wisdom.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you guys a story. So when I was little, my aunt that passed away, Allah Mahadis, she was blessed with three boys. And then she took me in. So we were four boys in total. Mm-hmm. So she tried three times to have a girl. She had all boys. She said, okay, it's not in the books for me. This is what I have. I'm going to work with what I have. So what she did was she turned me into her daughter. So what she did...
do you see her long hair?
No.
High-class girl.
Slow down.
What are you using?
You know what's going on. Okay. You know, I'm doing things, all right? But so what
the
she said...
Routine?
Yeah. We're going to talk about that off camera.
Okay.
So with that, so what she did was she taught me how to change a diaper, how to clean clothes, how to sweep and mop, how to clean dishes, how to clean laundry and fold
like the
laundry.
Somali girl in the house.
So basically that's exactly what happened. So she did all of that. So when she used to do all of that, and every day she'd get on me, do this, do that, do that. And when she'd get into the house, oh, you didn't do this, oh, you didn't do that. And every day I had to go through it. And every day I'm saying, why am I getting screamed at for this? This is, what is this? So like, I'll see my friends and my homies, and none of them know how a vacuum looks. None of them know how a broom looks. None of them know how a mop looks. You know what I mean? Some of the homies, they eat and just leave their dish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never had that luxury.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody ate, I cleaned it. If everybody made a mess, I cleaned it. If garbage needs to be taken out, I did that. If any physical labor needs to be done, I did that.
Were you much older than the boys?
Yeah. I'm like five, six years older than them. She taught me all of that. Everything happened in life. So now, fast forward a couple of years. Now I'm 18 and I live alone. Me staying alone,
you live with the boys without her.
No. The boys left. Everybody left. So now I live at the house alone. It's just me. So now I have the house to myself. I know how to cook. I know how to clean. And I know how to take care of myself.
Everything happens for a reason.
So now I look back at it and I was like, damn. Everything I learned and everything I used to cry about and everything I used to say, why am I doing this,
mm-hmm.
happened to help me later on in life. And it helped me understand that in life, nobody's going to do nothing for you.
Facts.
And when everybody's gone and you're by yourself, can you take care of yourself? And what she did was prepare me for life after her. After not having anybody, she prepared me for a life to be a grown man.
Yeah.
And I never understood that at the time. I always saw it as a chore, as something negative. I never saw the good in it.
Sometimes even when you're trying to fill like a shoe like your parents or your aunt or you're a female in the household, don't you sometimes feel over like it's overbearing?
Yeah.
Like I'm just like, what? Like when my oldest sister like moved down, got married, and then everybody like trickled, like all the responsibilities kind of trickled down a little bit hit me, you know? That little was enough to put me to sleep. Like that put me to sleep. You know what I'm trying to say? And I'm like, I was flabbergasted at how like my sister were able to raise two boys younger than them and two toddlers at that age. Like I'm at the age I'm at right now and I still wouldn't be able to take on that kind of responsibility.
You know, as I grew and my knowledge grew, I realized that growth is uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in situations and it's frustrating, the best thing to think about is you're growing, because comfort is dangerous for you, but growth is good for you. And when I listen to Smooth talk about his aunt, like, I admire her, you know, a lot.
Absolutely.
Of
still,
every time you tell me stories about it, I get so engaged in it, because it's you have so many funny stories with her, you know. And it's a beautiful thing.
It is. I just want to add, sorry to interrupt, I relate to it so much, because the way you're so close with your aunt, my aunt also took me in, right? So these aunts, they're not aunts to us, right? They're literally our mothers,
yes,
right?
So
it's like that's and
yeah.
It's crazy because people don't understand that. Like right now, when you look at other ethnic backgrounds, like an aunt is an aunt. Like she could only do so much. Like it's a limit for them.
Yeah.
But Somali woman, and maybe I'm being ignorant to other cultures, is like literally siblings' kids are your kids.
Yeah,
like they're taking you. When my mom passed away, my mom's sister had no plans on taking me to this country. You know, my dad didn't know what he was going to do with me. It wasn't like he asked, oh, you know what? I have one girl I'm taking her with. Like, till today, my dad says, I didn't know what I was going to do with you. Like, I knew that I was going to stay in Djibouti for a little bit and then try to get like a visa ready and then see if I could take you somewhere. And then literally your aunt, everything was done. And giving thanks to my aunt, her husband too, right? Her husband was with her. She was a married man that time. And he could have said, oh, no, we're not taking an extra kid.
Exactly.
We don't have money for an extra
exactly.
kid. And that's not really in our our nature, right?
Yeah, it wasn't even an option. It was
till today, like when I speak to my uncle, he's a professor in Somalia right now, and like when my dad died, we message each other all the time, and he tries to like uplift me and stuff, and then I'm forever like always telling him how thankful I was as a kid, mm-hmm. because he never made me feel like any different from his children, you know what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. And I felt like with my mom's sister, she owed that obligation to me, but like her husband really didn't, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, don't ever say thank you. What is this? She's like, he goes, I knew your mom, like she was like literally my friend, and like you never have to thank me. And then it just goes back to like, do you think we can ever morally fill those people's shoes?
No.
Never.
I wouldn't say never. I think we have different challenges and we don't understand the culture. There's a you know, mahmas. Mm-hmm. The Somali culture is very, very rich with wisdom. Mm-hmm. And there's a mahma that says, Nin walba dumur bakala. The Somali culture is a matriotic society where it's led by the women. Until you understand the value of a Somali woman, you'll never appreciate the value that they bring. And I notice in today, in 2021, we see young Somali girls marrying outside the culture. And I appreciate that because they got to put themselves first. I don't like it, but that's selfish. And I think that Somali girls should continue to pursue what's best for them. And I have a cousin that just recently got married to a guy that's from Turkey. And I wish them nothing but the best in their marriage. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud to see Somali women expand the culture to other parts of the world.
I think growing up, I always used to say, I can never see myself not marrying a Somali. But I feel like the older you get, it's like, and the more I learn about my deen, it's just about the expansion of the ummah. And so if you're marrying a Muslim person, then I'm more than happy with anybody that my siblings marry. But I do understand about protecting the culture and wanting to just keep that.
Yeah, you're right. But you at the end of the day, this world's a test, and you got to put yourself first when it comes to your life, right? And if the guys are not ready to get married, you should put yourself first and find somebody that fits yours. That is a good point.
He got to go.
That's your favorite thing to do.
No,
like karate.
Yeah.
Cut him off like karate.
You guys know Bella don't play. She don't play
that.
Don't
play that game.
She don't play that.
Okay, moving on to our next segment.
Today on Somali Spotlight, we are spotlighting a beautiful Somali woman.
And so today on our Somali Spotlight, it's someone that's very dear to all of our hearts. We pray that Allah grants her Jannah and gives her family sabr. A lot of you guys have been hearing the buzz about our very own Hoda Nalaya. Hoda Nalaya, just to start off, some background information on her. She was born in Somalia in 1976. She had four brothers and seven sisters. The Nalaya family is prominent in the Somali community and have helped so many families across the world. Hoda was involved in client management, sales and production in radio and television for over 13 years. She served as a producer of a number of TV shows, including American Idol and So You Think You Can Dance. Yes, our favorite show, you guys. So You Think You Can Dance?
Can you dance, Bella?
Okay, we're not going to talk about that right now. I definitely could kill the Dougie. Anyway, in September 2013, Hoda was appointed Vice President, Sales and Programming Development of Camera Works Production. A few days ago, a school in Vaughan honored her by renaming the school that was originally named after a slave owner, Hoda Nalaya Secondary School. Hoda served as the president of the Cultural Integration Agency, a full-service media firm specializing in the development of multicultural programs. In 2014, Hoda created Integration TV, a half-hour show that aired on City TV in the hopes of inspiring the Somali community to show their greatness and success among our people. Hoda Nalaya gave her heart and life to Islam. On July 12, 2019, she was tragically killed in an attack in Mogadishu along with her unborn child and her husband. She left behind two sons. Allah yarahma.
It's interesting that she was such a prominent person in the Somali community, and she had such passion for bettering people, not only Somali people, but mankind itself. She did a lot for a lot of people, and she did it with a smile. She is the epitome of a Somali queen. And it hurts my heart that we have lost her, but she's in a better place. And I wish her family success in this world and the next, because she was actually a gift from Allah. And I appreciate, have met her, and her brother is somebody that I looked up to, who was a big brother to me growing up here in Toronto. And he showed me how to be a better person just by advising me, calling me out for doing stupid things as a young man. And I appreciate him, and I appreciate the Nalaya family for being such great people in the Somali community here in Toronto.
I feel like when I see stuff like this, it means so much to me as a Muslim first and a Somali woman second. Representation always mattered to me when I turn on the TV channel, and when you see Ahura Nalaya in your cultural dirat or just speaking on the Somali culture and tasting foods and restaurants across the GTA, it kind of brought a piece of us to the city. And I remember like growing up and watching like Omni TV and like China, like there was used to be like these channels where they talk about like Chinese New Year's all the time. And it wasn't until my adult age that Ahura Nalaya kind of pushed the Somali agenda in a city that we're so prevalent in, right?
Yeah.
And so that's really appreciated. And
her presence will be missed.
Absolutely. And that's why we have to give people their flowers while they're alive, because like the fact that this school was named after her.
It's a big thing.
It's a big thing, man. It's a big thing.
Yeah, definitely. Let's move into glad tidings to the believer. And we chose the dua for this episode that is pretty interesting. And I will tell you after I read the dua. The dua starts as, "Oh Allah, make the end of my life the best part of my life. My best deeds, my last ones. Make the best of my days the day in which I meet you." And the significance of this dua is, this is the last tweet that Ahura Nalaya posted the morning that she lost her life, Allah
Rahistah. Wow, that's beautiful.
She left behind a legacy that inspires me and inspires all of us across the world, inspires us to be better people, and me and Smooth better men, because Islam is beautiful. And she showed that by wearing it on her sleeve and doing it proudly. And that's the power of a Somali woman. They are the most righteous of mankind. And today we are paying homage to the Somali woman. Thank you for all you have done for us.
Thank you very much. You are appreciated. You are loved. And we are behind you.
And whatever you choose to do, keep going.
And that includes Bella Twills.
You know, Bella, we talked about how I would personally love to see you moving to interviewing. And if you look, we always say that everything happens for a reason. If you look at the day that she died, it's your birthday.
I know. I was so freaked out when I read it. I said, July 12th. July 12th, subhanAllah. No, I actually always seen myself in television, even in journalism. I just feel like my Somali's not that great. So it kind of scares me when I'm interviewing older people. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like she has a way with speaking to different types of groups of Somali people.
Yeah,
me, as soon as I get around like old folks, I'm just like, I get, you know, but with time, inshallah.
Inshallah. Inshallah, with time, you guys will see Bella with two L's on all your screens. Inshallah.
I'll be right in front of Esther, like, today.
Hey. Today.
Shout out to my guys at Esther.
Shout out to them.
Educated TV is actually like amazing. I actually miss it. And you know, it's crazy. People say like, when you don't know somebody, I've never met her before, but it's like, I don't watch her like clips on YouTube and stuff. Like I genuinely, like when I heard she died, like I know that like you should like mourn for any Muslim person, but a little piece of me mourned for her because it was like, I know that you can't be, oh, when somebody's doing so great in life, why? Because we don't have that in our deen, right? It's not about why. I'm so happy that she did what she did and she lived a life of purpose. That's why when I speak to young women, I always say no 2 days is the same. So make sure they count, you know, just make sure they count. You don't always have to have the right answers or know what you're doing, but you want to leave a legacy. Like our deen talks a lot about how would the people talk about you once you leave, you know? Mm-hmm. The fact that we got that much people to sign a petition all across Ontario, you know, just for this school to be named that, speaks volumes of who she is as a person.
Definitely.
You know, we talk about a lot about glad tidings. A lot of the times Allah says, when Allah loves you, the people love you, you know? And this is a great example of that, you know? Mm-hmm. For people to be so touched like young and old, by this initiative to fight for it, to sit on Zoom calls that I would never have done it for anybody else in this world, to push people signing this. I never signed a petition in my life since. I'm not gonna cap. You know, I was signing that petition, probably my four names. You know, I got four names, right? Yeah, the middle name, the first name, that you know. Anyway, like, it meant a lot to me, and I'm very happy that Allah has given us that victory. And so we keep burning our prayers.
I mean, always. Definitely. And with that, we are concluding today's...
That the Somali woman is never unfinished.
Oh, wow.
She is always at the top.
Wow.
Progressing.
Keep going. Keep spinning.
Should I keep going?
Yeah, keep going. No one's going to stop me. We ain't going to stop you.
Till next time, guys.
Wow.
Y'all make me feel shy.
Bella got shy, guys. Sometimes she gets shy. You know what I mean? You know, we're going to release this on International Women's Day. Shout out to all the women all across the world. Somali, non-Somali, whatever you may be. We appreciate you. Inshallah khair and everything you guys do. Hope you guys tune in next time, because we got a good episode as well. The next episode is...
Fear of commitment.
Ooh. Do we fear commitment? Let me tell you guys some smooth answer is yes. So let's find out next time why it's yes.
Yeah, take care.